we're going to be learning about some stars here in a second, here in a little bit. But here's just a neat thing that I think that his prophecy is going to actually, it communicated something inside me. And I know exactly what it means. Sometimes I try to articulate what Yahweh told me, that I tell somebody, they go, no, that's not what he said. I go, I know what he said. I might not be able to communicate it, but I know I'm supposed to go. But I'm supposed to talk to you guys about black holes. What is a black hole? You know what a black hole is? He reads lips. Anyways, what is black holes? What's the history behind it? We just watched Star Trek. And we're going to go into something called a black hole before we get in here. And the purpose of talking about this is to stretch your mind. The assault on the United States and our president and our constitutional republic right now will get us so wound tight that we're just victims. And nobody's doing anything, possibly. Feeling, at least that's me sometimes, right? But a black hole, what is it? And so if Google it and don't quote me as a scholar on it. This is something I gleaned quickly on YouTube. They say the history of black holes starts really with Isaac Newton. Because Isaac Newton was the first person to explain gravity. Gravity doesn't make any kind of sense. If you're on a round ball, what's keeping you from getting flown off? Because centrifugal force means you go flying off. But Newton explained that, no, there's a force that's keeping us on there. And he did it through mathematics. And I forgot what his book was, something Mathematica in Latin. And it changed everything. What he wrote more about than science was Yahweh's words. And here he was given a gift, and he pursued Yahweh. Why are we going to talk about black holes? Why are we talking about stars? Because that's Yahweh. That's his stuff. Trees are his. The ants are his. Physics is his. Math is his. Language is his. Everything is his. Everything is good. And we should be pursuing him in every area. Looking. Teach me more about this, because he's got lessons about everything. It could be hunting or animals or physics. Or Dad will talk about tensions, tensile strength, compression. He's teaching us. He's got rooms for all of us. So why would we be talking about black holes or even Isaac Newton? Isaac Newton changed the world. What was he doing? He was a student of Yahweh. Here's Yahweh's math. So he explained gravity. And then you got to imagine these people back then. That doesn't even make any sense. Centrifugal force, if you spin, is going to go flying off like a potter's wheel. But then the next guy is a French guy. We're going to black holes. It was really the beginning of the black holes. He says, well, according to mathematics and gravity, there could be, if we go to a smaller planet, are we heavier or lighter? If we go to the moon, are you lighter or you heavier? Lighter. You can jump really high, right? It can be a problem. If you go to a bigger planet, what happens?
Heavier.
You're heavier. And actually, there'd be some planets that we went to, we would die because the gravitation pull would flatten us. This French guy, after Newton, said there could be such gravitational pull that it would bend light. Does that make sense to you? Gravity that bends light?
Yeah.
These guys are in the 1700s, and they're explaining such gravity. So you could be, they're explaining, here's physics, here's math, or mathematics, that if someone's getting big enough, or the other thing that changes gravity, if it's dense enough, it doesn't have to be quite as big. And at the center of black holes is this incredible density. You guys want to know how dense these things are? I was watching a thing. They showed a picture of a mountain. They said, you want to know what kind of density is inside a black hole? If you put that mountain inside of a black hole, it'd be crushed down to about an atom size. Because in between the atoms, there's spaces. And this is actually Ant-Man. Ant-Man, there's all these different spaces in between the molecules and the atoms. And in Ant-Man, what they did is they shrunk the spaces, all these things together. So there's a lot of physics in some of these Marvel comics. But they're explained that you could crush this mountain into something the size of an atom. How heavy would that atom be? And I was talking to Dad about these physics, and then Dad remembered something like that. He Googled, if you put Earth inside of a black hole, what would happen? They says the United States would be compacted about the size of a ping pong ball. Does that make sense to you?
No.
Can you? There's these black holes. And this was just physics. This was just mathematics. They exist somewhere. Why do they exist somewhere? People were studying Yahweh's mathematics And it wasn't until Einstein around 1915, he wrote his theory of relativity that opened up new things. And I don't know when the name black hole actually got coined, but it was just like within the last 20 years, I actually took a picture of this and they knew it existed. And then one of the things you can't take a picture of it is because light gets pulled into it. If there's no light in there, our eyes see light, but now they're so excited about this stuff. Who created the black hole?
Yahweh.
What's bigger, Goliath or the creator of the black hole? So we're going to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Hey, just try to wrap your mind around
First Samuel.
The whole earth, the size of a ping pong ball. This is actually Thor. Thor's hammer, from what I recollect, is from the center of a dead star. You guys know that?
Mm-hmm.
So his hammer is like the weight of an earth, which I would explain why nobody could pick that thing up. And so it's a good old marvel with some of this stuff. But here, learning these things is going to go, just ponder some of these things before. And what if you start thinking about black holes, what happens to your believing? You got a lot more room to work with, right? Sometimes we're looking at Yahweh's word on print and paper, and sometimes we forget how big he is. And the first place he wrote is in the stars. Moses put things down in ink, but the first place he wrote was in the stars. He told Abraham, look at the stars. The word is in the stars. Look at me. And we're going to be going to that in just a second. Chapter 17, verse 1. I'm just going to read how big Goliath was.
Verse 1.
10.
Yeah, 1. 17:1.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay. And the Philistines gathered together their hosts unto battle, and they were gathered together unto Succoth. I think Izzy used to go there. Which belongeth unto Judah. And they encamped between Succoth and Azekah and Eshmith-Damim. So what? They're invading Judah. Who picked this fight? The
Philistines
did. Judah wasn't picking a fight. Now they've been invaded, and they're going to be paralyzed for 40 days. The Democrat Party, China, Venezuela, Iran, have hijacked our elections here. And what's happening to a lot of, specifically, pastors and teachers? They've already submitted. And you go, okay, that can be very frustrating. And that's going to be an example of looking at the situation. And it can be very overwhelming. And we're supposed to do both. They're not just supposed to ignore it. And I was telling somebody that said, worry not for tomorrow, for tomorrow should worry for itself. They go, yeah. I go, who's the best people at that? The people on the street refuse to work. But you're supposed to work 6 days. If you don't work, you don't eat. So that's not the example. Well, you're supposed to be diligent. You're supposed to do both. And you're supposed to be Hobby Lobby or something like that. But anyways, they've invaded. Not only are they invaded, they're paralyzed. Their king Saul has lost Yahweh because the only reason why he beat the Philistines earlier is because he had Yahweh on his side. And I want to skip down to chapter 4, or verse 4. And there came forth a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, Goliath, his name, from Gath. His name means soothsayer. So this guy was a demonized, like witch, like a wizard, if you will. His height was 6 cubits in a span. That's between 9.5 to 10.5 feet tall. With a helmet of bronze on his head, and with a scaly coat of mail was his clad. The weight of the coat was about 125 pounds. The Paragraph Bible thinks it's about like 155. And then we go into the bronze, his feet, you're going to go on, and here's all the shackles. You see how big it is, and Yahweh records all that for us. And then what's going to happen is a young shepherd boy isn't going to be intimidated. Especially when this Philistine starts blaspheming whom?
Yahweh.
Going to go, you don't know who you're talking about. Who? What do you think Red China's thinking about Yahweh right now? Look at this powerful Christian nation. They're cowering. Everybody's got masks on. Look at these guys. They're like sheep. And that's what the United States appears to be right now. Everybody's got a mask. Stay at home. Save a life, right? We're looking at these things. And there's a lot of truth to it, too. But the purpose of this is not to go over Goliath, but turn to 2 Samuel chapter 22. The purpose of this teaching is to focus on who they're fighting. We've seen what David saw with Goliath, what Shaul saw with Goliath. We know about Goliath, these giants. But Yahweh is so wonderful that if you want to have an idea who he is or how big he is, yeah, you're looking for him. He doesn't even brag on it. I like to think of a dad and some little punk kids talking trash. He's like, yeah, whatever, I'll take care of that dude later. And that wasn't talking about an understatement. But the Second Samuel, and one of the best illustrations of this, I was going to incorporate it into the teaching, but I think the copyright laws wouldn't allow us to put it on YouTube. And then dad would have to edit it. But Word of Promise, if you go to 2 Samuel, or even easier, Psalm 17, they'll put the music into this stuff. We're going to get a glimpse of Yahweh. And this is what David is saying. We just talk about black holes. A black hole is nothing compared to Yahweh. Anyways, okay, let's see here. Let me get caught up. And who would like to be a theatrical reader? I can do it. I can do it, but just remind me if I stop where I had to go back, because unless Mom wants to do it. No pressure.
What do you want me to read?
I'll do it. Okay, so this is going to be a glimpse of who Yahweh is. This is also a glimpse that you and I should be thinking about. Dad did a teaching last week about fruits of the Spirit and sowing into the Spirit. He brought something up in it. You can't just stop thinking about something. You have to replace it.
Yeah.
You have to put something else in there to think about it. And whenever you're thinking about sinning, start talking about who Yahweh is right here. And it should sober you up pretty quick.
Make a man.
You're going to go, do you know what you're doing and who you're doing it to? Chapter 22, verse 4. Here's King David. As one worthy to be praised, called I unto Yahweh, and from my foes was I saved. When the breakers of death had encompassed me, the torrents of perdition made me afraid. The meshes of Sheol had surrounded me. The snares of death had confronted me. In my distress called I unto Yahweh, yea, unto my Elohim did I call. And he hearkened out of his temple unto my voice. Yahweh! Yahweh! Here he's going to come. And David's going to get to explain this. Okay. Okay. Then did the earth shake and quake. The fountains of the heavens were deeply moved. They did shake because he was angry. There went up smoke in his nostrils. And this word nostrils is great. It's one, I don't know if it's specific to this one, but it's the same word for anger. Have you ever seen your dad angry? Have you ever seen his nostrils get big? When I get mad, my face contorts. I don't know why my nose gets big, but horses, their nostrils will flare too. Yahweh's going to use that a lot, talking about his nostrils, what he's doing. This is what's happening when Goliath is saying these things about Yahweh and his people. Okay. But his nostrils are going to keep coming up. It's really neat. Okay. There went up, verse 9, there went up a smoke in his nostrils, and a fire came out of his mouth. Devoured like coals were kindled for him. This is like Smaug off the Lord of the Rings. Then he stretched out the heavens and came down, and thick gloom was under his feet. Then he rode a cherub and flew, and was seen on the wings of the wind, and made of the darkness around him pavilions, gathering up the waters, clouds of vapor. Out of the brightness before him were kindled live coals of fire. Thunder from heaven did Yahweh give forth. Yea, the highest uttered his voice. And he sent, I can imagine angels going, you guys really upset the boss. He sent forth arrows and scattered them, lightning and confused them. Then appeared the channels of the sea, were uncovered in the foundations of the world. At the rebuke of Yahweh, the blast of his breath of his nostrils. You can see things coming out. We've seen a horse do that with his nostrils.
Yeah.
He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my foe in his might, from them who hate me, because they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my necessity. Then became Yahweh my stay and brought into a large place even me. He delivered me because he was delighted in me. Yahweh rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanliness of my hand, he repaid me. For I have kept the ways of Yahweh, not broken away from my Elohim. And it's going to keep going on. Down to verse 30, this is what David is able to do with his Elohim. For by thee I ran through a troop, by an Elohim I leapt over a wall. Verse 35, teaching my hands of war so that so this is what happens when David gets to see his Elohim showing up. That my bow of bronze, I bend in my arms. Of course you can. This is the creator of the black hole. And you can hear a couple other things. 43, then did I beat them in pieces like the dust of the earth. This is what China and the Democrat Party are fighting. Dad did a teaching on Rahab while I'm talking. Turn to Nahum chapter 1. See, you guys, where's Nahum? You might sing a song. Nahum 8:90. But in it, he was teaching about the Raham. There's this very important word everybody should incorporate into their language. Raham, Hasid. But he said Yahweh was saying they have taken the children from the Raham, the womb, the firstborn that opened up the womb, and what did they do with it? They offered it to their Elohims. Who does the firstborn that opened the womb belong to? Yahweh. The Democrat Party with abortion and chopping babies, they're taking the money, giving it from Planned Parenthood, and now they're trying to hijack all these things. Who are they doing it to?
Yahweh.
And we're going to get a glimpse of them. Nahum chapter 1, 1 through 12. Let me get there. And when we start reading these things, you can go, wow. It was to me, it makes me think that before David had even heard Goliath speak these things, now this is my own imagination, as if David has just read these scriptures about who Yahweh was. Then he sees some little pipsqueak screaming and yelling, going, you don't know who you're messing with. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Yahweh's got my back. I've been anointed. You've been anointed. 8:9. Chapter 1, Nahum. The oracle of Nineveh, the scroll of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite. A El, jealous and avenging. Jealous means he doesn't want to share his people. He doesn't want to share you with unbelievers. Sometimes you and I are going to want to compromise because we don't want to lose our friends. Yahweh doesn't want to share you, Melania. He doesn't want to share me either. Or not. Well, I don't want to lose these friends. He doesn't want to share you. Let them worry about themselves. You know, he's jealous. I'd say, and that's something I got to work on too because I'm single.
Oh, man.
It's easy to meet a lady. Okay, a jealous event and avenging is Yahweh. An avenger is Yahweh. And a lord of wrath underneath the avenger. An avenger is Yahweh towards his adversaries. And a retainer of anger is he to his foes. Think about Israel. Remember where I stopped in the verse, you can remind me. Think about Israel thinking, here comes the Philistines. What's going to happen to our children? Right?
Yeah.
Well, let's just think about the United States. China is stealing our country. And the Democrats are helping them do it. That means no other election is ever going to work. Venezuela was gone in 20 years because after the Dominion, they stole the elections. It's gone just like that. What about our kids? What's on the line here? There'll never be another election, right? This is some of the seriousness. But who are they fighting? Who are they fighting? Because the United States is a Christian nation, for the most part. Verse 3, Yahweh is slow to anger. He is slow to it. But we just read about when he gets angry, when he comes down. But great in vigor, he will not leave. And one of my favorite things about it, remember, he's slow to anger, but great in vigor. Because as for Yahweh, in a storm wind and in a tempest is his way. Think about a tornado or a hurricane. He comes riding in. And clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and hath made it dry. It also says that about with his nostrils. He blasted the Red Sea for Moses, by the way. So I'm saying what's happening right now, Democrat Party, China, fall us into the Red Sea. Come on, come on. And we'll be singing just like Miriam and Moses. Who rebuked the sea and made it dry, and all the streams hath he dried up, wherewith are Bashan and Carmel. Even the blossom of Lebanon is withered. Mountains have trembled because of him. The hills have melted. We just learned about a black hole can take our planet Earth and turn it into a ping pong ball. What do you think Yahweh could do that? Nothing. The world also and all who dwell therein, before his indignation, who shall stand? Who shall abide the glow of his anger?
His wrath had poured forth like fire, and the rocks have been broken down because of him. Good is Yahweh as a protection in the day of distress, and one who acknowledges them who seek refuge in him. But an overflowing, rolling on, a full end will he make of them who rise up against him. Good luck, China. And his foes will he pursue into the darkness. That's you, Planned Parenthood Dominion. What can ye devise against Yahweh? A full end is he making? Distress shall not rise up twice. And keep reading. Though they were like thorns intertwined, as drunkards drenched in their drink, yet they have been devoured like stubble, fully dry. Out of thee hath one come forth, plotting against Yahweh, wickedness, a counselor of the abandoned one. My favorite part of all this, he's slow to anger, but once you get him upset, the parents will be able to like this next one, verse 12. Thus saith Yahweh, though they be in full force, and so in great numbers, yet even so have they been cut off and have passed away. This next part, what's it say? If I humble thee once, I won't humble thee again.
Not.
Think about that. I had a client. She said she was a single mom raising her kids. And her rebellious daughters would say, and the mom would say, don't do that. And her daughter said, or what? And the mom says, I guarantee you'll never do it again. And so here's Yahweh. If I humble you once, if you're a Democrat watching this, or China, it's time to repent. You think about that. You gotta go to they know what they're doing. Everybody knows about the Creator. They know about the Red Sea. They've seen these miracles. They've seen this stuff, and it's just good luck. Turn to Amos chapter 5.
Page 76.
If he humbles you, you won't have to do it twice.
What chapter?
5.
Thank you.
6:5.
And as I'm reading these things, we're talking about his nostrils, earthquakes, thunder, lightning, quaking. Yahweh did that with his people, with Moses, when he first talked to them. It was so terrifying, they thought they were going to die. And I bet you what? I bet you it was just like that. You better start getting some reverence for this God. You're holy is, so shall you be holy. And so, okay, all right. Sober up. But now we're going to turn into, here is going to be, I'm going to get real excited. I'm going to try not to. Yahweh is getting ready to commence a dirge.
Commencing with a
dirge and widening out the exhortation, seek me, seek Yahweh, seek right. He's about ready to open up another can in the book of Amos or Amos. Now, I'll start with verse 7. You can read the beginning of this, and this is another, when Yahweh gets hot, Elijah and Isaiah, I bet you've seen your dad get angry every once in a while, you're like, I could have been the same way too. You just pushed it, and I knew that with my mom and my dad, I could lean on my mom a lot. But once my dad snapped, I was like, he doesn't cool off. He just goes white hot. Hell's coming, and tell him hell's coming, and I'm coming with it, or something like that. But anyways, ye who turn into wormwood justice and righteousness to the ground have let fall. You think you're going to rip Yahweh off of this election? Seek him. I'm going to turn that. See, that's in brackets. And what I'm going to use here is Yahweh's going to say, look at me. You, look at me. You're in the game. You're in the war. You're on Facebook. You're on this. Stop. Look at him. You got to stop. Look at him. And what's Yahweh going to say here in verse 8? Who made the what?
Cluster.
And the giant, and turneth into mourning the shadow of the day. What's a cluster? What's a giant? Good old Rotherham gives us code. What is a cluster? What is a giant? If you look up the Hebrew word cluster, he gave us code to say something special is happening here. You know what Yahweh is saying? Look at my constellations. Look up at the sky. Stop. And the cluster is, and I think all of us need to memorize these Hebrew words. Because Yahweh is going to say this over and over again. Look at my
these constellations. Look at this. Do you know who you're talking to? This is me. This is some of my work. The cluster is a Greek or Hebrew word, Strong's number H3598, called Kima. It's used three different times. In here, Job 9:9 and Job 38:3. What is it? The cluster, now, the original names of the constellations, the drawings in the sky have been lost. We don't know. And I really hesitated to say anything pagan. But I think we can use some of the pagan stuff. What are you guys doing? I need an eraser. Well, we could use some of the pagan names to help us appreciate some of Yahweh's paintings. Otherwise, you can look up there and I don't know what to look at, do you? No? You got Big Dipper? Venus? Yep. Looks the same to me.
Yeah.
Looks overwhelming. I have no idea what's going on. The cluster is called, in the Greek, it's going to be, if you want, seven sisters. It's going to be called, let me see, Pleiades. Real name is Kima. Everybody say Kima. So we need a... It's Kima. Yahweh is saying, look at Kima. What is a Kima? And what's the giant? The giant is Strong's number 3684, Kasil. These are two constellations. And he's going to tell his people over and over again, look up at... When was the last time you looked at my work? I didn't know what to look for. It's like a lot of love. And Kisa. Kima is the seven sisters up here. Pleiades. Kisil. Oh, you're going to like this one. I got one like this. I really enjoyed it too because my son has three moles on his back. And it was the only constellation I really ever knew besides the Big Dipper. And the Big Dipper is not really a constellation, right? Orion's belt. You know what Orion is?
Hunter.
The hunter. He's the hunter. What is the original thing for Orion? We don't know. But we can use these terminologies to look things up. And you can say, where is it? And you can get on your back. And if you want, what neat thing about this, so what about the stars? As I was learning about the stars, so what? That's Yahweh. You say you love him? Enjoy all of his work. All of his work. And the guys that are talking about the seven sisters...
I turn it so they can't see it.
Okay. The seven sisters, these... You should see these... Do you like that?
Yeah.
The seven sisters, here's these astronomers. Do you know how they would look at them? Binoculars. You go out in the back, here's your binoculars, and what you're going to see is... Now, this word, Kasil... And so, Kasil is, it can be any notable constellation, but specifically Orion. But Kima is this right here. It's called the Seven Sisters. It's a cluster of about, it's more than seven, but it's very sparkly. You're looking at these jewels. Think about it, you look at the crown jewels, you didn't even know what they were. That's what these lights are. Now, with the Greek mythology, what I try to do here, and so Yahweh is telling people, look at my stuff. So, this belt, can you guys see the belt?
Mm-hmm.
That's the easiest way to see Orion. The rest of them, you know, I used to just go, how the heck did you get a bow hunter out of that? Mm-hmm. I was wrong. You know what you do? Life and death was dependent upon navigating the stars. So what they did is they made a picture that you could recognize this constellation. So it doesn't necessarily look like a bow hunter. They created into it. And then you go, I can recognize it. So it's like a riddle or something. So you see right here, there's a bow right here. You got three stars. And this is the actual constellation. And this is a club up here. So can you see this right here? It looks like a tuning fork.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't necessarily look like it. But then you do a drawing. Here's where this is. And then here with Orion, he's actually going after the seven sisters. Here's a hunter. Taurus, it does not look like a bull to me. But you see the drawing, it's not because it looks like a bull. It's giving you something to memorize this. It's like an acronym or something. Oh, okay, like how many days are there in March or July? And so Taurus is like a big tuning fork, but its eyes right here, these two bright stars right here. So if you look this direction going up, you can see these eyes, which is Taurus's tuning fork, and then right back here is called Pleiades. And here Yahweh is telling you, look at his word. Look at his constellations. You can come over here and look. You can, especially you get to tell people, I didn't even know this my whole life.
I've always enjoyed the stars, but I couldn't get Yahweh's word in it. And this is, so what? What about the stars? Why should we know these things? What do you think the Magi were doing? Here are these nerds. These nerds, these guys, I was watching these astrologers looking at this, and I'm going, man, look in the mirror, dude. Go comb that hair. All you could care about was this, studying Yahweh's work. How beautiful is that? And that's what Dad does with Yahweh's word. What about this word? It's not about the word, it's about who put it there. Who put the stars there? And so this is going to be Amos. Yahweh says, look up at this. Look at Kima, look at Kasil. You can tell people, then we're turning to Job 9:9. And a lot of times, do you know when Yahweh told him to look at these constellations? Do you know what he's getting ready to do? They're this close to seeing Psalm 17. You guys better knock it off. And he said, look at Kilah, look at Kasil. And otherwise, there's going to be the nostrils, it's going to be the thunder, the quakes. You guys, if you don't know who you're messing with. In Job 9:9, let's see here.
506.
507. No, that's the wrong one. 505. Here. Thanks. That's before Psalms. That's after Psalms.
Esther, it's after
Psalms.
Job 9.
9.
Thank you.
505. And then here, Job is going to be, here's another warning. And verse 8.
What chapter? I'm sorry.
Job... Chapter 9, page 505. I'll start in verse 1. Then responded Job and said, of a truth I know that so it is. But how can a mortal be just with El if he chooses to contend with him? He cannot answer him one of a thousand. Wise in heart or alert in vigor? What man hath hardened himself against him and prospered? Who removed the mountains unaware? Who overturneth them in his anger? You ever seen Christ threw over the tables? Who shaketh the earth out of its place and the pillars thereof shudders? Who commanded the sun and it breaketh not forth? And about the stars he putteth a seal. Who spreadeth out the heavens by himself alone and marcheth along on the heights of the sea? Who made the
bear.
And the chambers of the south. Who doth find? He's talking about who Yahweh is. What's the bear? Well, good news to you. I'm glad you asked. You guys know what the Big Dipper is? That's it. So Big Dipper, and here's a little smaller. The bear is Strong's number 5789. And then you have the pagan names. But knowing the pagan names, you can Google things and start finding how to find stuff. And I knew that there was some sort of association with... Actually, do you know the Big Dipper is a clock? Do you guys know? That when the Big Dipper's up like this, I probably have this wrong, that means it's June, summer. Then when it's over here, that means it's spring. And then when you go outside and it's upside down... It's a clock.
I never noticed that.
You can go outside, it tells you exactly
what season.
Yeah, here this is. I had no idea. Nobody ever taught me. I just learned. Quick Google. Down here, you got the Big Dipper right here. And go down here, and it says, if you follow the tip of the Big Dipper this way, they're going to see this bright thing. This word. And it doesn't mean bear, but good old Rotherham gave us a hint to find out, what is this star? What is it? There's a constellation called the bear. It doesn't look like a bear. But it's some abstract... We go hunting sometimes, and you see a shadow. So you see that shadow there looks like a unicorn? It doesn't mean it literally looks like it, but it gives you an idea what to look for. And that's what these things are. But here with the bear, it's called Arcturus. And then you can go over here, and not only is this like a clock, it actually looks like it looks like the Nazi symbol, but going the other way. It looks like this thing's scooping. It's really cool. Ah, okay. But then if you look off the tip right here, up... There's the North Star. And okay, then here's Yahweh's word. So then you got Kiba, you have Kasil, and then you have, you know, especially the hunter. But the point of all this is this war that's going on right now, like Lord of the Rings, it looks like it's the end of the world. And that's where we need to take a step back away from the word, if necessary. You go land your back
and take an interest in Yahweh's artwork. Almost there's also Isaiah 13:10, and in these four different instances, Yahweh goes, "Look at me." No, not the mountain. The mountain's not even this big.
Yeah.
Look up. Do you know how big this is? You know, when I was learning about black holes and they're explaining this stuff, they said you can't see a black hole because there is no light. And they're explaining this stuff, and they finally saw it. And these guys, all these astrophysicists, are so excited about this black hole. Do you know what this means? This means, and actually, when I did some of the pictures, have you ever seen our galaxy? The spiral. This is the center of our galaxy, the black hole. I haven't verified any of it, but it looks just like a black hole too. And that's the gravitational pull, keeping everything in there. Don't quote me on that part. But here's one of the other things what they were talking about. They're saying the nearest black hole is 200 million light years away or something like that. And they said, if you could see Earth from there with a telescope, what you'd be seeing, if you could, you'd be seeing the dinosaurs that roamed during this age. Because the light that you'd be seeing was sent like 8,000 years ago. It's just now getting there. The light that's being reflected would be 8,000 years old. Wrap your mind around that.
I can't.
Because you know that the Milky Way, you've got hundreds of, you know, so you guys understand that the stars, the light you're seeing, that was sent years and years and years and years and years and years ago. You guys understand that? Because, yeah, so you're like, you're right. Then also, one other thing with the black hole. Here's these physicists say that time, if you could go inside the black hole, if you could cross over, they said time would literally start slowing down. And then you start going into all the mathematical things that are actually happening. How does time slow down? Because of gravity, because of the density of something. And what? Hopefully, when we start talking about things so big, it will help all of us to reconcile our situations compared to our Elohim. Now, we still got to be involved. We still got to be telling people. You know, one other thing with all this, that Yahweh, He gives His Hesed and His Raham to those who revere Him. If you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, then He's not coming to bail you out. There's a lot of Christians go, just whoever gets elected, man, you're not getting bailed out. I was thinking about that with Donald Trump. Here's Donald Trump. People won't put bumper stickers. They won't vote. They won't rally. What if Donald Trump could see everything we did? And all of us think of somebody who's neutral, won't do anything. What if they called Donald Trump and said, "Hey, my mom's in jail. Will you come and help her?" And he goes, what have they done for me? They won't wear a bumper sticker. Half their families are Democrats. They voted Democrats. They support. They give money to Democrats. He'd be like, "I'm not helping that person." Yahweh, His Raham and His Hesed, He comes like He did with David if you revere Him, if you're doing the Word. But anyways, okay, Father, we thank You for these words. We thank You for this election and that we'll get to look back at this teaching and it's going to seem silly to us. But to other people that didn't experience this, we'll get to explain this is just when Yahweh is getting ready to flex His muscles. And we thank You, Father, for the legislatures. And we thank You for helping us disengage when we get wound so tight that we're unapproachable. If that's the case, that we can take a step back, go lay on our back, look at Your stars, Your creation, and know that justice is Yours, vengeance is Yours. But You'll show us how we are to be in the war, but we can be a cheerful, joyous ambassador for You. We thank You, Father, for these words. Do not be fearful. And when you don't have joy, fear is creeping in. If you don't have joy, your faith is leaking. You've sprung a leak. Use this as a joyometer or a faithometer, that when your laughter and your joy is gone, your faith is leaking. So take a step back, observe My creation, and look at some of the things that I've done. Lay on your back, look at a baby duck or some of these My creation, and disengage so that I can wash away all the burdens of this world, because I'll carry the heavy things, but You got to let Me do it. Amen.